Welcome to Supernatural Stocks on MoneyWeb with your host, The Finance Ghost. This is your weekly fix of equity analysis designed for stock pickers. Whether local or international, you can expect a mix of news and my ideas about what I'm seeing in the markets. Below 172 Rand, that is how low Mr. Price went in response to the news of probably the most tone-deaf acquisition this side of 2015 by any JSE-listed company. The NKD acquisition reads like a classic example of a South African group that is out of ideas and looking for offshore opportunities that they are willing to bet the farm on. A decade ago, the market would probably have loved and even celebrated the deal. Institutional investors would have been lining up in the hope of a capital raise, ready to throw equity at the problem while telling their investors that the money would be going as far away from the Zuma government as possible. But that was 2015, and this is 2025. The Mr. Price share price was trading at over 211 Rand before the news broke. This means that the drawdown over a couple of days was around 18.5% in response to this deal. If you do the maths, this means that the market just about wrote the entire deal off as worthless, a complete waste of money that should be valued at zero immediately. Now, that's an extreme view, but it tells you something about how sentiment has changed towards offshore deals. There are two main reasons for this, one of which will appeal to the proud South Africans, and the other one is mainly just a depressing history lesson. Let's deal with these reasons before moving into exactly why this particular deal sucks. Local is more lacquer these days. Unless you've been living under a rock in 2025, you'll be aware that the JSE has had a watershed year. Sure, it was mainly thanks to gold stocks and then platinum in the latter parts of the year. But there were also big contributions from the telcos, and from the likes of Prosus and Richemont as well. And the JSE midcaps are even starting to awaken from their slumber, with some inspiring turnaround stories that are giving South Africans hope. The sun is shining, we are off the grey list, we recently got a credit ratings upgrade, and South African 10-year bond yields are better than we've seen in years. All of this supports higher valuations of South African assets. Heck, even the Springboks can't lose at this point. Sentiment towards local exposure has improved substantially, not least of all because the US is feeling more weird by the day. The AI bubble concerns are weighing on sentiment towards that market, while Europe, as the other big developed market area, is struggling to find much growth beyond one or two key sectors like defense stocks. South Africa is sticking its hand up as an attractive emerging market, and people are paying attention. Well, most people are paying attention because for some reason Mr. Price has been focusing on Eastern Europe instead, for reasons that are very hard to understand when they've actually had a really good run of local transactions. Now, the mention of these deals brings us neatly to the more important reason why the market absolutely hated this announcement, and that is a track record in the clothing sector that not even a mother could love. International markets are a graveyard for South African capital. I'm not going to rehash what you already know, at least not in detail. We know that local retailers have a shocking history of international deals. Woolworths always gets a special mention for how terrible David Jones in Australia was. Spar is still reeling from the horrors of Poland and then Switzerland. When you basically have to pay someone to drag a business away, you know it's bad. The Fashini Group, that's another cautionary tale, with very negative local sentiment despite the company hosting a flashy capital markets day in which they tried to convince investors of the substantial local growth opportunity. Just months after that event, the company released horrible numbers that were disappointing in South Africa and downright awful in the UK and Australia. Again, the market pointed to the offshore exposure and highlighted the clear risks of trying to be successful in faraway lands. And despite this, the Fashini Group has been doubling down on the UK with more acquisitions. All of the best turnaround stories on the JSE right now are of companies that are unwinding old deals and getting out of non-core assets. The market is rewarding focus, not diversification in the pursuit of diversification. We can diversify our exposure ourselves as investors by buying different companies and making specific allocations as we see fit. The very last thing that anyone wants to see is corporate management teams trying to do that on behalf of shareholders. Announcing such a large offshore deal in this environment tells me that the Mr. Price executive team is completely tone deaf. They clearly have little or no understanding of capital market cycles and what investors are actually looking for. They've now lost the trust of local investors when it comes to capital allocation decisions, something that will affect the valuation for as long as this management team is still there. But wait, there's more. You see, even if people actually did want offshore deals, this one sucks. Let's start with the first problem. Mr. Price is buying 100% of NKD Group from a private equity seller. Now, a business in private equity ownership has been built to be sold. That is simply how the model works. There are some exceptions when it comes to permanent capital vehicles, as they are known, but most private equity houses want to own their assets for between 7 and 10 years and then sell them so that they can return capital to investors. This certainly doesn't mean that every private equity asset shouldn't be touched, but it does mean that Mr. Price is dancing with wolves here when it comes to the valuation and the asset being dressed up for sale. It's not even remotely like negotiating with a founder who has a long-term legacy mindset. The other benefit of buying from a founder is that you can typically get a pathway to control instead of buying 100% right off the bat. This allows you to put up a smaller amount of money to get a board seat and really learn the business alongside the founder or whoever owns the company at the moment. If there's a desire to exercise an option for control down the line, then a truly informed decision is being made at that time. And if the founders or whoever the owner is want to retain a small minority stake for dividend income into the future, then no harm, no foul. Listed company investors don't really care about whether the group holds 100% of an underlying asset, unless there are obvious synergies with existing assets that you can only unlock through owning 100%. When it comes to an offshore retailer, there are no synergies with the rest of Mr. Price's business, and so it doesn't matter. They don't need to own 100%, they just need to control the asset, and that's 51%. In fact, it would be preferable to have alignment with local owners and to not have 100%. But alas, that is not the Mr. Price approach here. They are taking 100% straight away with absolutely zero experience in running this business. Hilariously, they include a note in the analyst presentation that part of the appeal is, and I quote, limited distraction for both management teams. Sure, I've heard that one before. The second problem is the sheer size of this deal in the group context. Mr. Price has indicated that when all is said and done, NKD will be 25% of group sales. Yes, a quarter of the Mr. Price group that you know and understand will now be an Eastern European retail group that is a complete unknown to local investors and frankly even to Mr. Price execs. Tell me again about how that won't be a distraction. Now for the valuation, and this is really where it goes from bad to worse. In their infinite wisdom, Mr. Price has decided to cough up over 9.6 billion rand for a business that generated profit after tax in 2024 of around 261 million rand. That is a price earnings multiple of 37, or more than Microsoft is currently trading at. Lovely, isn't it? Having been in private equity ownership, it is very possible that NKD is heavily indebted and that interest costs are squashing the profits. But unfortunately, Mr. Price has given really basic financial disclosure about this thing they are buying, relying on the fact that it's a Category 2 transaction that doesn't need a shareholder vote or a circular. So this makes it really difficult to assess whether the multiple really is that ridiculous or not. And some shareholder activism by 361 Asset Management, with an excellent letter to the board, highlights this fact and asks for a significant amount of additional information. Frankly, information that Mr. Price should have done by themselves. They shouldn't have needed to be asked for this. The only thing we can really reliably work off right now is a sales multiple of around 0.7x based on the 2024 numbers. Still feels like it's on the high side, but not completely nuts, that's for sure. Top clothing retailers do tend to trade at between 1 and 1.2 times sales. Then you get some outliers at much higher numbers like Inditex that owns Zara. Without having detailed financials to work through though, it's hard to assess the details of this deal for NKD. And that is perhaps the biggest issue of all. The outright hubris of management to announce a deal of this magnitude and so far outside of what anyone is asking for, while giving minimum additional disclosure around the target company. Even if this does somehow end up being a success for Mr. Price over the long term, the damage has been done to the company's reputation in the market. Let this be a cautionary tale to other local management teams. The days of doing high-risk offshore deals and expecting the market to fawn over you, they are long, long gone. There's no such thing as an opportunity without risk, and these are merely my opinions on the stocks covered herein. Make sure that you do your own research, form your own views on the market when doing anything in your portfolio. Nothing in supernatural stocks should be taken as advice.